I want to talk to you guys about freedom today. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have been set free.
Amen.
You have become a new creation in Christ. He has broken the chains of sin that bind you, and He has released you from those chains. And even if you were bound up physically, if you were in chains, physical chains and shackles, you are still set free if you have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ has done so much for you and I. More than we can even imagine that He has done for us. Not only has He set us free from sin, but He has given us His Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom." Amen? Not only has Christ given you His Spirit, He has paid the price for your sins. He has died on the cross for you and I. He was buried for you and I. And He was resurrected for you and I. See, freedom has a name. Freedom's name is Jesus Christ. It is not America. It's not mom and dad. It's Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can bring about true freedom. He is the only one that can set you free. Whatever might be going on in your lives today, know this for a fact. Jesus Christ can set you free from that. See, if you're not a believer today in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are a slave to sin. John 8:34-36 says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Do you know that's a promise? Christ says, "If I say I set you free, you are set free." And God is a God that keeps His promises. Amen? And He has kept this promise to us. The promise of freedom. The promise of liberation. We have liberty in Christ. Nothing can hold you back today because you have been set free. No physical thing, emotional thing can set you back. See, Christ has adopted us. We are a son. We have been made part of the family of God, and there we're granted freedom. So I want to ask you guys two questions today. The first one is really one of the most important ones. Have you been set free? Have you let Jesus Christ come into your life and flip it upside down? Have you let Him break the chains in your life? Have you let Him set you free from the bondage of sin? Number two, are you living like you've been set free? Are you living like Christ has set you free? Or are you living ashamed of the gospel? Are you living a fear of other people's opinions about you? Are you being molded and motivated by that freedom? Because this freedom is the only one that can bring pure joy to your life. Did you know that? Jesus Christ is the only one that can build a foundation for joy in your life. True, lasting joy throughout any circumstance. Even when that circumstance may be death, you can find joy in who our Savior Jesus Christ is. Maybe you're a person who is living in freedom. Maybe you're a person excited about what Jesus Christ has done for you, the freedom that He has given you. Man, I hope today that this is a reminder that you never forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read one of my favorite pieces in Acts. Verse 16. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit had left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Then the crowd joined in and attacked Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. See, this was a common theme that happened to Paul and Silas. Seemed like everywhere they go, a miracle would happen, or they would preach the truth to the people. It would cause the city into an uproar. They would drag them out. They would beat them. And all might have seemed lost. They might not have thought that they were going to make it. They might have thought that they were going to die. See, the magistrates gave order to the jailer to guard them. Right? They didn't put them on the outer cell. They put them in the innermost part of the prison. They did not want these men to leave. They did not want these men to get out. Can you imagine being beaten and bruised and flogged for the name of Jesus Christ? See, all those jailers and all those prisoners that would have been in there probably thought all was lost for them. That God couldn't save them in the innermost part of the cell. God couldn't redeem them. God couldn't break their shackles. God couldn't break their chains. God had something in store for Paul and Silas. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Think about that. Beaten and bruised, bloody. Nothing can stop their praise. I hope today nothing can stop your praise for Jesus Christ. I hope you pray continuously. Paul said to the Ephesians, pray on every occasion with all sorts of prayers. I hope nothing stops you, because if this didn't stop these men, nothing should stop us from proclaiming who Jesus Christ is, from proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. Singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, with such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, all at once the prisoners' doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing what God can do? Isn't it amazing that when all seems lost, God comes through? That no matter what happens in your life, know that God is with you. God never leaves you. God never forsakes you. God commands us. He commanded Joshua. He said, "I command you to be strong and courageous." We must be strong and courageous today. When we go out into the world and the opposition comes, we have to be strong and we have to be courageous. We have to know who our God is. We have to know who freed us. There the jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Could you imagine the thought process if you were commanded to guard these men and then you thought everyone was gone? See, it was custom that if the guard lost his prisoners, he was going to be executed. They were going to kill him. So he probably thought, well, I might as well just kill myself now because I'm a dead man anyways. Can you imagine what he might have thought when he hears these next words? How relieved he was to hear these next words come from Paul. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Not only did God break the chains, they didn't even leave. They knew what was going to happen to this man. They didn't want this man to die. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Imagine how relieved you were when you asked Christ into your life. When you thought all was lost. And Christ saved you. I remember sitting out here doing all the stuff that I was doing. All the drugs and the alcohol. Someone showed me what Christ can do. Showed me that Christ can break my chains. Showed me there was more to life than partying. There was someone who could set me free. Imagine the jailer. We were all this jailer at some point. What must I do to be saved? See, even when Paul and Silas were chained up, they knew they were free. Even when they were beaten with rods and flogged, they knew they were free. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Very simple statement, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amazing. It's amazing to see what God can do with such a simple phrase, but oh, what a price was paid for that simple phrase. The Son of God had to die on that cross. I remember how relieved I was when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I remember the weight of everything, the weight of this world on my shoulders, thinking I had to do it all. Thinking I had to be liked by all. And when I asked Jesus Christ to come in my life, those weights, they fell. Those chains, they broke. And I felt set free. I felt like a new creation. I felt like a man that could do anything knowing who was inside me. Knowing that freedom lived right here. It wasn't miles away. It wasn't buried in the grave. It lived right here. Know today that you have this freedom living inside of you. That's something that didn't happen centuries ago, but it's something that can change and mold you right now. That salvation isn't the only thing. That this freedom isn't just meant for you to be saved. It's meant to mold you in the way of the Lord. To motivate you in the way of the Lord. To do God's will. To prevail His kingdom far and wide. To show the people who Jesus is. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." This extension of salvation didn't just go to him, it went to his whole household. And then we're going to read further down where it says their whole household was saved. This household, they had to make the same decision as this jailer. They had to make the same decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all of the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household was baptized. Think about what has already happened. They've been chained up. God sent a violent earthquake, shaked the whole place, broke the chains, opened the doors. Now a whole household gets saved. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. Are you filled with joy today, church? Amen. Are you filled with the joy that only God can give, knowing that he has saved you? That death has no hold on you, that Christ has defeated death, that whether we die physically, well, we don't die spiritually. Filled with joy. I wonder sometimes if our church is filled with joy. If the church as a whole is filled with joy. Are you filled with joy today? Pure joy. That even if you were bound up physically, you could still sing, pray to God. See, living in freedom radiates to others. Your freedom radiates to the world. Oh, why is these people set free? How are these people set free? How do I possess the freedom that they have? How can my chains be broken? How can the weight be lifted off my shoulders? And you can preach the Lord to them. See, a person who lives in freedom does three things. If we look back here, what did Paul and Silas do? Paul and Silas prayed. A person who lives in freedom prays. They will pray and no matter the circumstances. They'll pray in every occasion. They will pray continuously. They can pray in their car. They can pray at church. They can pray at work. Their prayer has no limitations. What else did they do? They praised God. They sang to Him. They sang hymns to God in their situation. They praise God for who He is. What else did they do? They preached God. Not only did they pray for their circumstance or whatever they prayed for, not only did they praise God for who He is, the Almighty, powerful, amazing God, but they preached God. They didn't leave their cells. They didn't want this man to die. They wanted to show him who God was. If you are living in freedom, you should be preaching God. In your actions, in your words, at work, you should radiate God. God should be seen in every aspect of your life. See, but most of us, we'll take advantage of our freedom. We'll take advantage of what God has done for us Galatians chapter 5 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor." Do you love your neighbor today? Can you love the person who beats and flogs you? Can you love the person that calls you names? Because if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We're not to indulge in the flesh. What does the flesh bring? Destruction. The acts of the flesh are obvious. We know the acts of the flesh. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, a person who lives in freedom lives those things. They live love, they live joy, they live peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know what most of us lack? Self-control. Us in our human nature lack self-control. We need God to guide us in our acts of the flesh. We need Him to show us the Spirit. We need Him to help us with the fruits of the Spirit. It all starts with freedom. It all started with that. It all started with the cross. See, we are sometimes become so conceited, so provoking, and so envious. Did you know jealousy runs free within the church? Jealousy runs free within the world. We are jealous people. Someone gets that, someone gets this. I want that. I want this. So many times jealousy will lead to other acts of the flesh. Lead to gossip. Gossip is the biggest one. Right? You're jealous of someone. Oh, I can't believe so-and-so has this. I can't believe so-and-so has that. Right? They don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. We're not to do whatever we want. Because not everything we want is beneficial for us. Even though you might want it, you might desire it, you might have passions for it, that doesn't make it good. He says, since we live by the Spirit, since we live by the freedom that Christ has given us, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not slow down because of our flesh. Let's not slow down because those who belong to Jesus Christ has crucified the flesh. We have crucified our sinful nature. God has set us free from our sin. He has made us a child of God. He has set us on the rock and freed us from condemnation. We don't pay the ultimate price for sin. We don't die in our sins. Christ has redeemed us. Right? The song we just sang, He is mighty to save. Never think you're too far gone to be saved. Never think you've done something so bad that Christ would never pull you out of the pit and set you back on the ground. So many people lay in filth thinking that God isn't going to save them. God can't save me. I'm way too far gone. Christ is the Father of freedom. It doesn't matter what you've done. Christ is all about freedom. He is all about liberating your soul. Showing you that there's more to life than what is in front of you. That there's a wider perspective. That the earthly things are temporary, but the eternal things, they're forever. They are eternal. Christ is eternal, and if you have Jesus Christ, you are eternal. So many times in the church, we bite and we devour each other. We put each other down. But Hebrews tells us, no, we ought to stir one another up onto love and good deeds. We should be motivating people in the church, encouraging people in the church to do what? To live by the Spirit, to live in their freedom, to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, to preach freedom. It is so hard for us sometimes to grasp the full perspective of God. Sometimes it's so hard for us to jump on God's bandwagon. Why? Because it requires sacrifice. It requires me giving up something in my life. It requires me giving up those acts of the flesh. God is amazing. Amen. I hope today you know that you've been set free. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Never give up. Never give up on the things of God. We're so focused on the temporary things. We're so focused on getting a good job. We're so focused on earning a lot of money. We're so focused on finding love. We're so focused on all aspects of life. Fame, pride, selfish ambition. But instead, we need to be focused on His eternal glory. Focuses on the freedom, focuses on the eternal things, the heavenly things, the things of God. So are you a person that prays to the Lord on every occasion? Are you a person that praises the Lord on every occasion? And are you a person that preaches the Lord on every occasion? Can you preach God at work? Can you preach God to your lost family? Can you radiate what Christ has done in your life? Christ has put away shame. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. But most of us here couldn't even tell one of our closest friends. See, one day we'll be resurrected. One day we'll stand before God and we'll give an account for what we've done. How does your life hold up? Are you doing those things? Are you living by the Spirit? Are you showing love? Are you showing joy? Are you showing all those things? Christ loves us beyond comparison. There's nobody that loves you more than Jesus Christ. His love is immeasurably more than anything that we could fathom. In 1 Peter, First Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace has called you to His eternal glory. That though you suffer a little while, it's just momentary. Paul and Silas got it. They understood. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understood. They knew that even if God doesn't save them, they were going to worship Him. Then Job, even though the Lord slayeth me, I'm going to serve Him. God is mighty and powerful. All authority on heaven is given to Jesus Christ. All authority to free you. You cannot be freed by anybody else. Only Christ can free you. Only Christ can pick you up and put you on the solid ground. Only Christ can make you stand firm. Only Christ, only Christ. There is no other way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. There is no other way for a person to break the chains of sin in your life. If you do not have Jesus, you are a slave to sin. You're not a son or daughter to the Father. But there's one way that you can become it. There's one way, one simple way, one easy way, one way that's right there in front of you. All you have to do is take it. All you have to do is grasp it with everything you have. We're so worried in this life. Worries, they bind us down. They stop us from moving. Christ has set us on solid ground. Do you know you're on solid ground today? Do you know that you can do anything because you have freedom inside you? Whatever God has called you to do, I never once thought I'd be up here. Never once thought that God would call me to preaching. But He said, anything is possible with me. There's nothing impossible with God. If God calls you to do miraculous, amazing things, you can do it. But the devil is going to sit there in your face and say, you can't do it. You can't be saved. There are so many people out in this community waiting for this freedom. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to pray to God? Are we going to praise God? Are we going to preach God? I hope in every occasion in your life, through your daily routine, you can do those three things. I hope you never stop praying to God. I hope you never stop praising Him. I hope the last testimony you have is not your salvation. I hope you know that God has done something for you this week. God is awesome. God is an awesome God. And God is the God who reigns. We do not reign. I do not reign. Pastor Jimmy does not reign. Jesus Christ reigns. Because He paid the ultimate price for you. He was the one lifted on that cross. Your sins were the one that were pierced to the cross. He was the perfect lamb for you. The perfect sacrifice for you. No other sacrifice could be made. I remember after I got saved, I went back to my grandma's house where we would do all sorts of bad things. And I remember sitting there on the bed thinking, what am I doing? Why am I here? Has not Christ freed me? I sat there and God spoke to me saying, you're done. You're done with this old life because I have given you new life. And I left. I walked out and I've never been back since. Knowing that God had made me new. That your old lifestyle, that when the devil brings it up, that you can say, that's not my identity anymore. That's not who I am. So let's stand. Are you free today? I want everyone to close their eyes. Are you truly free today?